Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm going to say LeBron James is one of the best athletes in the world. Like the strength, power, coordination, speed, like holy crap. He's a freak among freaks. Like he is incredible. He would also finish in dead last at the CrossFit Games.
We are here because we know the outcomes in our lives are within our control. That taking absolute ownership of how we eat, sleep, train, think, and connect with each other is how we'll optimize our health and happiness. That chasing excellence is how we grab hold of what is possible. Our mission is to live on the run, always chasing, never stopping. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Chasing Excellence. How are you, Ben?
Good. Thanks, Patrick.
Good. Today we are returning to something we did once already, a new kind of format. I think we called it 10 questions the last time, but we've decided to do more questions, so we can't call it that. So we're going to call it Hopper Talk to harken back to the old days of CrossFit. So we've got Hopper Talk is literally the most random questions that we can think of that we thought might be fun and funny to have a conversation about and around. And so we'll take turns kind of giving our answers to each one of these. We'll go kind of quick, kind of rapid fire. You ready to go?
Ready to go. Let's rock and roll.
Cool. First question. Who is the strongest CrossFit Games athlete ever? I'm going to let you go first because you would be the expert on this.
I'm probably not the expert on historical CrossFit performances, but all right, I'll go through this quickly. I think that if we were to take it for absolutes, it's probably Sam Dancer.
Good call.
So I think Sam Dancer probably has the biggest slow lifts, deadlift, and squat, my guess. If we were to take it relative, it might be Tia. Tia is the strongest female athlete. She's definitely put up the biggest numbers ever from a female. And I'm going from like individuals in this, because I know on the team side, there's probably some monsters and freaks and stuff like that. But those would be my two answers. So two answers there. What would you say? You have something?
Yeah. The one that popped into my head, and I don't know that he's the strongest, but I like the idea of just thinking about it as like relative strength, but Cody Anderson always impressed me.
Oh, so like relative to body weight.
Yeah. Maybe that's one way to think about it. And I think for impressive. Him, it's at least obviously, I mean, it is with everybody, but in large part, it's just technique and his ability to move his body and move weight efficiently. But, other than the obvious ones, I think Sam Dancer is an awesome answer. He pops into mind as being somebody who always impresses me with how strong he is. Again, given that he's not the size of Sam Dancer.
Yep. Jeff Evans was another beast. John Para to kind of throw back. Elizabeth Akinwale. You know, some of those like the super strong athletes from way back.
Yeah.
Way back before.
Is it an advantage to be in that category at this point, or has the games become
Tia like and Matt, like Tia is the strongest by far. So Tia wins the front squat. She wins the deadlift. She wins the back squat. She wins it's a huge advantage. The most impressive thing about Tia is that she's doing it also while being the lightest female athlete in the field, which is just like, that's a astronomical advantage. Cause when you're Sam Dancer and you're the biggest athlete and the strongest athlete, there's pros and cons to that, right? You win some events, but you get smashed in other ones, you know, the long distance run or the thing that involves 100 burpees. But Tia, what amazing advantage that is to be the smallest and the strongest.
Good point. Okay. Next question is also a CrossFit Games question. Should Ricky Gerrard be given a second chance? And maybe a little context. What year was it that 2 years ago?
17 or 18.
17, where he podiumed, and then it came out that he was on something. Maybe do you know more context? Because my memory is pretty
weak. No, he popped for performance enhancer. I don't know enough about like what it was.
Yeah.
He was in that the movie, the documentary they make, you know, denying it as well, which didn't look good at all. So here's I'll take a first stab at this one is the answer is I believe that yes, he should.
Hmm.
For two different reasons. The first one is it's the rules. So the rules are that you serve a ban, and then after your ban is up, you're allowed to come back in. I believe his ban is up, and that's the rules, so he should be allowed back in. Everyone knows the rules, and we play by those rules.
Yeah.
Now, he broke the rules, and he paid the punishment for it, and he's allowed back in. The next one is I do believe people deserve a second chance. And as hard as that is for somebody that seems to have like blatantly, knowingly cheated and maybe cheating right now, like it doesn't sit well with me. I'm not going to root for him when he comes back. It's not like, look at the comeback kid. It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I just think that in terms of, you know, I don't think it's one strike, you're out forever type thing. One strike, you're punished. Yeah, but do your time and then hopefully you learned your lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that his brother also, I don't know, but I think I heard that his brother also popped positive, which doesn't bode well for the family.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I can see both sides. I like what you're saying. I think you're right. I mean, I think if you create rules, then it doesn't make sense to ignore those rules just because maybe you don't like it. I would say my argument against would be for a sport that is still looking to establish real credibility outside of the bubble that it's already that has already established credibility in. And at the same time, being a sport that consistently, when you are outside that bubble, it's looked at as, well, clearly they're all on steroids. Men, women, teams, doesn't matter. They're all clearly on steroids. You've got to be really, really, really strict on not giving ammunition to that kind of criticism while you're still at the same time trying to establish it as a sport on the level of whatever, rugby, basketball, baseball, fill in the blank.
Well, so don't I think say that, baseball.
Don't say that's true, actually. But baseball can get rid of the, can not get away with it, but they got away with it because they were already established in a way that certainly the CrossFit Games aren't. So that would be my kind of against, is just thinking about it as a brand and as a where it is, I think, in the trajectory of where they're trying to get to. In addition to kind of what you said, I think one thing that the games is missing, and it sort of sounds silly, but is bad guys, is people to root against. And like, you know them more than I do, but every single CrossFit Games athlete I've ever met has been like the most wonderful humans alive. And that's fun and that's fine. But again, thinking about it as a bigger sport and thinking about it as a sport, it's fun to be a Red Sox fan and to root against the Yankees. Sometimes rooting against the Yankees is as much fun as rooting for the Red Sox. And so if you've got somebody like a Ricky Gerrard, it'd be nice if like Cody Anderson to bring him, like it'd be great to see Cody Anderson beat him because Cody Anderson's such a nice guy. Right. Yeah. And so it brings a different kind of dynamic to the sport that I think is missing entirely.
So that Dave Castro doesn't have to be the only bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're all just tired of being angry at Dave Castro. So, yeah, we need somebody else.
I think that would be nice. I think that I like that part. Yeah. So let's recruit some dinks and bring them in.
Yeah, some dinks?
Yes.
I like that. Okay, next question. What is wrong but sounds right?
All right, I'll let you take this
one
first.
All right, so I've got two things that popped to mind. And they're both maybe more semantic than anything, but The first thing is the term, they're both terms, but the first one is the term self-help. I've never really understood that, right? So if I read a book that's in the self-help category, I'm no longer helping myself. I'm being helped by the individual who wrote that book. And he's being helped by every single person who's influenced him, who's taught him, every book that he read. Hmm. And so by saying it's self-help, it makes it this kind of independent pursuit when it's a completely interdependent pursuit. And I think calling it self-help limits or narrows what it actually is, and what that pursuit actually is when done well is something you do alongside or with or under the guidance or the tutelage of somebody else. And so I don't think it's self-help. I don't think that's possible. If we could help ourselves, we would just sit in a room and we'd be better. I just don't particularly see that. So that's the first thing. And then the second is the term.
So self. So if by that definition, that's what like meditation is. Meditation might be self-help.
Sure. Yep. I mean, that's
As long as it's not a guided meditation.
Yep. And that's probably, but even that, like when I think about transcendental meditation, most people, when they learn that, they're taught that, and they're taught that from a lineage of teachers.
Oh, right. And, so you know what I mean? Yeah. It's probably hard to, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the first thing.
It's an oxymoron, essentially.
To a degree. Yeah. And then the second one is similar is the term side hustle, which I think maybe I just don't like because, and I've made this joke before, like my entire life is like a series of side hustles. And I don't know how many side hustles you can have until it's a whole hustle. But the idea of side hustles make it feel like I have a job and then I do other things. To me, that's like, I have a family and I do other things. It's like, no, you're a single human being. You have a whole host of things that all individually and collectively make you who you are. It's not a side. It can't be the side of something. It's part of you. And when you say it's a side hustle, you sort of make it less important as it relates to your own identity. And you don't, that's not what you want. You want to start a side hustle so that it is more of your identity. And so again, both of those are just kind of semantics things that we call things that I don't think are accurate or appropriate.
I feel like the question could have been like pet peeves. You got a little venting session.
Those are there. Little
that
pet peeves.
That's nice. Yeah. I could tell.
What about you? What's wrong, but sounds right.
I'll go with one that's one of my members. So people on this podcast have probably heard me say this and they're probably like, stop saying that. And he called me out and I never knew I said it.
One of your members called you out?
Yeah. Irregardless.
Okay. Irregardless
is not the word. There is not a word that's irregardless, although it is in the dictionary now, but it's just regardless.
That's funny.
And I was like, when he was telling me I was saying that, I was like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I would never say that word. And then in the next sentence, in the next conversation I had with somebody, my lips started to formulate the word. And I was like, oh my God. So
yep.
Thank you.
That's good. I love
thank
that.
You, Chief, for calling me out on that. That's a good one.
Chief. Good old Chief. Yes. Okay.
I'll go with one more, which is like, what's wrong? The question is
but sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything in the health foods, like health, like anything like, so I could go on, we could go on and on about nutrition, just kind of like saturated fat, like all these, keto is good for CrossFitters. Like there's so many things in those categories, but like fat free is healthy. Like sugar free is healthy. Gluten free is healthy. Like, that's like a little venting session as well. It's a that can get people into a pet peeve. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. It's a good way to ask somebody what their pet peeve is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Without. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Next one. If you had to be haunted by a ghost for the rest of your life, but could choose which dead person the ghost would be, who would you choose?
I'll let you go first on this one.
All right. So this is my answer is totally because of a book I'm reading, which actually you'd really like if you haven't read it. It's by Doris Kearns Goodwin, I think her name is. She's a historian. And the book is called Leadership in Turbulent Times. It's a kind of a study of Abe Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson, and kind of tracks their progression as leaders through the particular challenges that they faced throughout their lives. And so the answer that pops in, and so I say that the answer that pops in my mind is like, I would love to have somebody like Teddy Roosevelt haunt
me.
And the reason is really specific because I think the advantage of having a ghost haunt you is to have the influence of somebody perpetually there to remind you of who you want to become. And so when I think about somebody like Teddy Roosevelt, he was sort of this kind of like boundless energy, always moving forward, always looking for better, always trying to do more. And to have him kind of on my shoulder, reminding me of what else I could do, how else, you know, how else I could behave, how, what, you know, where else I could move myself. I think something like that would be really, I mean, not, maybe not fun, but kind of interesting and useful.
Yeah. I love that. That answer. I might steal that answer because I didn't realize he was full of energy and boundless. Yeah. I realized he was a badass and all the rest.
Yep.
And my answer is a little bit so all right. When I first heard the question, I don't know why, but this is not my answer. But the first thing that popped in my head was Bruno Mars. Like, just imagine having that soundtrack and that hype man next to you the whole time. Like, you would just be like walking every room, like, let's go. Whoa. You know, but that's not my answer.
You could put your iPhone on and just.
I would have like, yeah, I'd be going to come into these podcasts where we do like thick gold rimmed sunglasses. All right. But really, my answer is a lot closer to yours. And I actually like yours a lot. And mine's only because it's a historical figure I've started to dig into a little bit, which is Nelson Mandela. First off, he has a South African accent, so it'd be just kind of cool to hear him on your shoulder all the time, like talking that way. But very similar to yours, this leader that is so committed to his principles. Yep. And I would just love somebody on my shoulder all the time going like, commit to your principles, commit to your, like, this is, you're deviating away. Like, there's, it's basically like having another, everyone's got the good angel and the devil and like the higher level you and the lower level you. It's like having another higher level you. I've been reading Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom. And when I say, I probably have said this like three or four podcasts because the book is like 800 pages. but it's just like his commitment to his principles.
Yeah.
Is so freaking inspiring. And it's super humbling because I'm nowhere near as badass as he is. You know, it's like people like him and Stockdale and these people that just like voluntarily go through suffering just to prove their commitment to their principles.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yep. Agreed.
I'm going to dig in more into Teddy though, because I like your Teddy answer.
Yep. It is a good book. It's funny. I'm reading it at the same time
What's it
called? Leadership in Turbulent Times.
Oh, so I thought it was a Teddy Roosevelt. So I get it.
But what's interesting is I'm reading it with our conversation with Greg Everett in mind. So he wrote a book.
That was such a good conversation.
Yeah, Becoming Tough, and they're really interesting parallels, just as books in one, but as kind of two parts of the same conversation. Where Greg's book is all about maybe the mechanics of it and breaking it down, and this other book, Leadership in Turbulent Times, is that in action, that in example, that in story. And so they're a really nice parallel to kind of have in your head at the same time. Next one. Very, very serious question. Which of the seven dwarfs is most like you? And I'll remind us who the seven dwarfs are because I had to look it up. Grumpy, Dopey, Doc, Happy, Bashful, Sneezy, and Sleepy. I'll let you go first.
Bashful.
Yeah?
If I'm not talking about the five factors of fitness of some sense or pursuing excellence or business or health, I'm in a social social situation. Like, I'm probably not volunteering my voice. I'm bashful. I was extremely introverted, mostly through middle school and particularly high school.
Me too. My answer is the same, except I'm off.
Is that often, so weird that we host a podcast together?
Well, no, because it's just you and I talking, so it's easy.
and we talk about the stuff we want to talk about. We're stacking the deck.
Yeah, totally. My other answer, of course, would be sleepy though, because children.
Oh yeah. Young kids.
But that's some days.
That's temporary.
Yes. All right. Next question. If you could go back in time and make little changes to your childhood, what is one thing you'd learn and master over the years so you'd be an expert at it today?
Okay. You can go first.
The thing that comes to mind here is I was a really crappy loser as a kid playing sports, coming up to play sports. And it wasn't just like I didn't like to lose, which everybody doesn't like, but there was something about losing that. The example that pops into my mind is I was playing basketball. This was like grade school or something. It wasn't like high school level. It was earlier than that. But I remember the game ending and we lost. And I somehow convinced myself that I was really upset because I didn't know the game was over. Like I thought maybe it was halftime, or it was just like, which is silly because like there's two halves in a basketball game and you don't have to be an idiot to realize we played two of them and now we're done. And I just remember throwing a fit. And so I think, when I think back of it, like what would I maybe tweak, or what could I have tweaked to maybe have helped me today? Maybe it was, learning how to pull lessons out of losing, or pulling lessons out of situations that don't go the way you want it to go, so that you can make something of it. Because
that's,
I think a lot
that's so shocking to me though, Pat, because that's not who you are now. And I feel like you have learned those lessons. Like you are calm, you are composed, you are not competitive in a self-destructive way.
Like, yeah. I would say that's true now, but I would say that
wanted a different childhood because like,
maybe, but I think it really hurt me in high school and into college.
Okay.
And I think everything that you just said, which I appreciate and to the degree that I can agree with it, I agree with it. But that's stuff that to a large degree I've worked on with some amount of intention for 10 or 15 plus years. It wasn't maybe what I would consider natural. And I think thinking about childhood and that period of life, right, before you kind of become a mid-20s, you kind of figure some things out. I think that whatever that was slowed me down quite a bit. In the sense of, like, we talk a lot about fixed and growth mindset. It probably made me really fixed in not trying things for fear of it not going well, for fear of quote unquote losing, whatever. And I think I probably lost a lot of opportunities to experiment, explore, try things, screw around, mess up, because I really didn't want things to go in some less than positive way.
I think that you've grown up to be such a respectful young man, though.
Thank you, sir.
All right. What would I have learned? What I changed in my childhood so I could learn something to become an expert at it now? Yeah.
Yep. Close enough.
I would have learned how to speed read.
Great answer.
Man, if I could go through a book in like a few hours, God, and retain everything.
Yep.
It's like a superpower. That's just such a superpower. Yep. That's an easy answer for me for that one.
Yeah. I've taken, there's a guy named Jim Quick, which the name is impossibly, perfect, but, he wrote a book called Limitless. I think I haven't read it, but I took an online course that was for speed reading. And it takes practice, but you can it is helpful. It is for that reason alone. Just like you get more, proverbial hours in the day.
Yeah.
The retention is the hard part, right? We've talked about that a lot. All right, next question. Back to CrossFit. Would LeBron James be competitive at the CrossFit Games? Where would he place?
I'm going to say LeBron James is one of the best athletes in the world. Like the strength, power, coordination, speed, like holy crap. He's a freak among freaks. Like he is incredible. He would also finish in dead last at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
I mean, like it would honestly be last place. If there was a event that had like some short running in it and some vertical jumping in it, or obviously shooting basketballs, he would win potentially.
Yeah.
Everything else, just because of his sheer size, you can't compete in our sport at that size.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work that way.
Yep. Agreed.
I think that he could transfer to being a tight end or a wide receiver in football. And maybe if he became a tight end, a wide receiver in football, he may be one of the top two or three wide receivers in football if he was to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's other sports that we naturally transition over to, but ours is not one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would be your take?
Yeah, I would completely agree. That's what I would say too, is he would not be competitive at all.
Yeah.
For all the reasons that you said.
And it's just like, it's the sheer, so people are kind of listening to this like, no, you're wrong. Like, no, he would do great. It's just like the lever arms, you can't be competitive with your lever arms that long. Like, yeah. If you're 5'8" doing handstand pushups, you're moving X distance every single rep. He's moving 2X every single time. He has to do twice the work as everybody else. It just doesn't, you can't do it. It's not because he's not quote unquote a good athlete. It's just the way the sport is set up.
Yeah. I would also say that the evolution of the sport, there's so much skill involved now, and skill that he wouldn't have any reason to have developed up till now, that sheer athleticism can't make up for. Certainly not all of it.
Was it last year, maybe 2 years ago? Hunter McIntyre, like the OCR Spartan racing and obstacle course racing, like world champion, came to the games. While he didn't do great, he held his own. But that sport translates fairly well over. Lots of endurance, multi-dimensional. You got to have endurance and speed. You got to be able to lift heavy things. And he did. He made the first cut 2 years ago. So when they had the cuts, but then I don't think he made it past the next one. So he made it through one workout nuts.
He did train specifically for it for some period of time too. So it's not as if he was doing OCR and then.
Yeah, I'm kind of giving LeBron the benefit of the doubt. Like, he would spend a year training for the games, like not just walking in. Like, that's unfair to anybody. Like,
that's true. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. What purchase of $100 or less has most positively affected your life in the last 6 months? And that's a Tim Ferriss question, just to give credit where credit is due.
All right, you go.
I will say I'll give two answers. The first is a couple months ago I bought a Fitbit. I think it's a Fitbit Inspire. It's just like the simple tracker. It's not like a smartwatch. It's just a tracker. And I would say the reason why it was most positively, for a couple of reasons. One, it actually gave me the chance to track my sleep, which I had never done before. Track it in some mildly reasonable way, other than just like, oh, I kind of went to bed at 9 and I sort of woke up at 6. So that's really helpful just to get a gauge of that. We've joked before, my entire life is based on how much sleep I got at night. So that's helpful for me to know. But the other reason that it was really helpful is sleep related, but it has the ability to set silent alarms, it vibrates basically. And the reason honestly why that was helpful is because half the night I will end up finishing the night in my son's room bed and then sleep for as long as he sleeps for. And so I really like being productive in the morning, and I was finding I was sleeping till 7:30 or whatever, and I'd lose the hour or whatever when the house was quiet to get some work done. So having an alarm on my wrist meant I could get woken up no matter if I was in my bed
without waking up the baby,
without waking anybody else.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's the first one, which I really like. And the second one is, I just got it, is a Kindle, which I always prefer books, paper books. But right now our youngest son is in the room with us still, and I couldn't read in bed because if I flick the light on, he wakes up. And so I was like, all right, let me just get a Kindle.
Cool.
And the cool thing about this, though, the Kindle, and even just reading at night that I found, is with a good book, it makes me want to get to bed earlier instead of wasting 30 minutes on whatever, Instagram and Netflix. I'm like, oh no, I want to get to bed at 9 so I can read for 20 minutes and then crash on time. And so having the Kindle, just having a book that I want to read there is actually kind of a sleep hack as much as it is anything else.
I love that. It's a total hack. Yeah.
Yep.
Cue habit reward.
Yep.
Like, love it.
Yep.
All right. And so, so this is a hard question. I honestly can't remember buying anything. I'm like an anti-consumer. I just don't buy anything. So the only thing I can remember buying in the last 6 months, honestly, anything, is books.
Yeah.
And I went to the supermarket once about 10 days ago, and because Palmellos, you know what Palmellos are?
No.
They're like humongous grapefruits. They're okay. Awesome. They're so good. And somebody texted me because they knew that I liked them. And they're like, Palmellos are on sale at the local. So I went and bought 10 Palmellos. That's the only thing. Ice books and yep. Palmellos is the only thing I can remember buying in the last 6 months. So
really?
I'll having said that, my family and my wife buys things. So yep. I'll kind of, we got, and I don't know if we bought it in the last, whatever you said, whether 6 months or a year, but
yeah.
We got an air fryer.
Oh yeah. We've had one for a while. We just tried it for the first time. Yeah.
You just tried it?
Yeah, we just pulled it out of the box and tried it.
Dude, put some like broccoli in it.
Okay.
It makes it like, put some sweet potato fries in it.
Yep.
It'll change your life, bro.
All right, cool. Yeah, we tried sweet potato fries, but that was so far.
We have two. we have two out on the counters at the same time.
Nice.
That's, we cook everything in it now. Everything's cooked in the air fryer.
Okay. I think actually we did chicken once too, and that was pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. See, look at that. You found some answers. All right. Next one. What did you think was cool then when you were young, but isn't cool now? Or maybe that you realize isn't cool now.
Oh,
and obviously you can define when then and young.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go young and I'll go like, college,
mm-hmm.
Getting hammered.
Hmm.
Yeah. I used to get, I was a different person. I used to get like wrecked.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't drink socially. I would drink to like get drunk.
Mm.
And man, I hate that feeling so much now that I have nightmares about it.
Oof.
It's honestly like, I think it's the worst feeling you could possibly have is not have control of your mind or your body.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. So, and I used to think it was super cool. I used to love it back then. It used to be the thing. Like I used to, I was a party guy. I didn't drink really all through high school. And when I got to college, that changed a lot. Mm. I was basically making up for lost time. Yeah. Continued to do it socially, you know, through my 20s. 30s started to get out of it. In 40s, I barely, you know, I might have a glass of wine or two. I probably have like 3 or 4 glasses of wine a month now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. I never, what you said, like the idea of losing control of mind and body, that was actually the thing that always prevented me from ever even starting to drink. Cause I saw what that looked like sober. And I was like, I never want to be that
person. That's kind of what happened. Like you see it when you're young and you're like, they're so, it's like loose inhibitions and they're fun and everyone's there. So everyone's the same place. But then when you get older and you're more mature, you're like, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
It's God. And that's what I think probably happened is as I started to get out of it a little bit, I saw people acting that way. It just like threw me to the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. My answer is just completely silly, but it's the first one that comes to mind. And right now it's the only one that comes to mind. There was a period in high school when I really thought that silk shirts were just like the jam.
No, man, those are still in. Rock
and
it.
I remember going to
shirts in high school? God. Or you wanted to be the kid that wore
shirts? No, I did. I remember going to like Finley's basement or something and making my mom buy like 5 of them or 6 of them, like with like, oh boy. I don't even think it was something that I look back and I'm like, that wasn't cool. I think it was like 2 weeks later.
Did you wear
it
with, like jeans? Is that what the look was?
Yeah.
Or did you wear it with like jams? Remember those shorts? Like jams.
No, I don't think,
jams is like probably before your time.
Maybe. No, they were probably with jeans. So I don't think it took me long to realize, like there wasn't a large gap between thinking it was cool and realizing it wasn't, but I probably had to wear them a few times before I realized that that was the case.
This has been the most eye-opening, enlightening, discovering.
Next question. What? I love this.
Quickly, next question. Move on.
Yeah, we're not talking about silk shirts anymore. What old person thing do you do?
All right, you go first on this one.
Oh, God. What old person thing? I genuinely think most of the things I do are probably old person things to do. I would say go to bed early.
Mm.
I think that's that's the one that pops to mind the most. But you go, and maybe I'll think of something else.
Every question you pulled back into sleeping somehow.
I'm not kidding, man.
You are.
I think about it a lot. You are
sleep deprived, my man. Yes. I'm sleepy dwarf. I need my Fitbit to track it. I wish I learned how to sleep better as a kid.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
All right. One of the things I found, and Heather's kind of called me on this, is like I start making grunting noises when I sit down and stand up. It sucks. She'll be like, I'll be like in the garage doing a workout, and I'll put the weights down, and she's like, and you grunt when you stand and walk away. Like you're done. What's that about? What's the grunting for? It's like, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I go to bed early too, though. I love it though.
All right. Next one. What movie can you practically quote from start to finish?
There's a few. I could do a handful of movies. I could probably do Dumb and Dumber line for line. I'm not proud of that. I could do Braveheart line for line.
Good. Yep.
What else? All right. You asked for one. I gave you two. What about you? Film school guy.
Yeah. I don't know that I've a move though.
Yours is going to be like Casablanca.
No. The one movie maybe would be Dead Poets Society. You ever seen that?
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen it once. I just know Robin Williams in it.
Yeah, I probably watched it.
Really?
A ton. Yeah. So that would be the movie, but the one that is probably the most legitimate is a TV show, and it's The West Wing. I could probably recite most episodes from that or at least chunks of every episode of that show.
You know what another movie I could do is the 80s movie Better Off Dead. You ever seen that? John Cusack?
I've probably seen it, but not enough to be able to remember it.
It was not like a a big one, so I'm not surprised you have. Yeah. But it's one of the ones that we owned. Like as a kid, we had my family was the last ones in the entire state to have Betamax. Do you remember Betamax? You don't even know what Betamax is, do you? How old are you?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
You're like 37. How old are you?
I'll be 40 this year.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're there. You're in the neighborhood. Yep. Yeah. We had to drive two towns, at least a town away, to go to the Betamax rental place. And we had that on Betamax. And then all of a sudden we got, what's the other one? Just VCR. Is it VCR? Yeah, VHS.
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 Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right. What old person thing do you do? Talk about Betamax.
Yeah.
Next question. Actually, this is funny. We've kind of already talked about this. What's one pet peeve you have that you wish you could get rid of because it hampers your ability to enjoy life?
I wish it didn't piss me off as much as it does, but like when I'm in, like driving my car and I stop to let someone cross the street or let a car pull in and I give the little wave. And then they look at me and they just drive right past me without like giving a wave thank you.
Yeah.
That pisses me off, man. It kind of wrecks I don't know if it wrecks my day. I don't know if anything wrecks my day.
Yeah.
But certainly makes me think like, how can we not be like, let's like the nice, like, thank you.
Yeah.
It irks me. Let's say that. It irks me at least for a minute or two.
Yep.
That's definitely a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. Mine is actually, this conversation has made me kind of realize one, which is
sleeping.
Sleeping is not a pet peeve. It's, I always have a hard time, and I've had a hard time since high school, being around people who are drinking any more than like a glass of wine or beer with
them. Oh, I got one actually. I'll flip mine. Is complainers. I can't be around people that are complaining.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's just like if someone's negative at all. And when you get into like our age and you're hanging out with other married couples, it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now, as you get even older, we hang around with it's like people complain about their health and the doctor visits and all the others. And it's like, or, you know, even more is like politics. Like when people like you have a someone on the right and someone on the left and they start going at it. It's like, yep. What are we doing here? Like, guys, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree on both of them with the complaining. Well, that's a great answer. That is that legitimately hampers the ability to at least enjoy the moment or the conversation or the environment that you're in.
Yeah. Like I just, when that happens, if I don't remove myself, I'm not having a good time.
Yeah.
So that's more so than the waving thing. Yeah. The waving is petty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So my answer is,
drinking,
other people drinking and not being able to just relax. Yeah. And so that I found, over time is for sure true. The house, and this is the next question. The house is on fire. Everything valuable and everybody in it is safe and outside. You have one last dash to get in and grab something. What do you grab? And we can assume
did it say everything in it that's valuable is safe?
Yeah, like anything.
So you have to grab something that's not valuable.
Yeah, I guess so. Like grab something that isn't like it wouldn't ruin your life if you didn't get it out. But like you have one, you've got a
okay.
To grab something that is kind of a nice to have, but not a need to have. You want me to go?
Go for it. Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure that there's anything.
Let it burn.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's something generally like irreplaceable. And nothing is coming to mind. Either irreplaceable or, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. So we played a couples game a couple of weeks ago, and this question came up.
Mm.
And I was supposed to answer, and Heather's supposed to answer. And you're supposed to see if you have the same answers.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything. It didn't say the other prerequisites, like kids are safe, all that stuff. It was like, what are you going to grab?
Yep.
And you get a point if we come up with the same answer. And I wrote down the kids, mm-hmm. and she wrote down Harley. She actually chose one of the kids. I was like, she's like,
how did she explain
like,
that?
She's like, you would grab both kids? I'm like, yes, I would grab both kids. Two arms, you grab both kids. Like you grab the kids. You don't choose one. And even if you like her the best, don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you're supposed to pick Bodie and I'm supposed to get Harley. It's like, no, you get the but if it's all that stuff and if it's not I would grab my computer just because I don't know if the computer considers something valuable. Like,
yeah, no.
It would be a pain in the butt to replace all that stuff on it.
Yeah.
Although everything's getting in the cloud now, so.
Yeah, that's, yep.
I think what we're getting to is like, it doesn't matter if things burn, if everything, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Next one, or actually the last one we've got. If you could choose the location of the 2023 CrossFit Games, where would you put it? And I don't know I don't know why I picked the 2023 CrossFit Games, but that's the one.
Oh, 2023? Oh, okay. Yeah. Then CrossFit Games in the future, in the near future.
A future CrossFit Games.
All right, why don't you go first?
I don't know. I could make some things up, but I think more interesting would be I would put it in a place and at a time that the weather was cold, if not very cold.
Oh, whoa.
I think that that's a massive missing piece of testing somebody's grit and fitness and ability to persevere is, yeah, all that stuff, but now it's 20 degrees and the wind is whipping and maybe it's snowing out and maybe you've got four layers of clothes on because that's just like, I just think that that would be an interesting test if we're really trying to look at this from a broad time horizon of looking at fitness is so far we've tested people who can perform well in the heat.
Yeah.
But what about the people who don't perform well in the heat? Maybe the people who don't perform well in the cold, isn't that part of being the fittest on earth? So I think that would be, so maybe put it somewhere where it's, a ski resort kind of thing where you've got an interesting terrain and do it at the time when there's maybe some snow on the ground.
So you doubled it. You went place and
time. Place and time, yeah.
Look at you. Extra bonus points for Patrick. yeah, I think you kind of stole mine. I would say at a ski resort.
Yeah.
I love the and I would actually probably choose someplace like British Columbia because you then have the ocean as well.
Good call.
And I you need water. I don't want a pool and I don't want even a lake. I want like the rough water.
Yep.
I think that's something that is a part of it. It's I love to your point, to me, I want to use the terrain. That's why I loved going back to Aromas this past year. Yep. It's just unfeasible to have that with fans. There's not the infrastructure in place, but a place like British Columbia, which has hosted the Olympics, could certainly do that. Or Squaw Valley, or Montreal, you know, Europe, like wherever it might be. The only thing I'm not psyched on too much about that, which I think British Columbia would actually be a good one, is I don't want elevation to be the differentiator, because it's just such a massive advantage for people that live at elevation.
Yep, agreed. Otherwise,
we'd have to then go there 6 weeks ahead of time to acclimatize, and that's 6 weeks away from my family. So, yeah. So I'm going to say mountains at sea level, near an ocean with unicorns.
All right. Well, hopefully Dave Castro is listening. He can make that happen. All right, my friend. That was another episode of Hopper Talk. Folks out there listening, it's kind of a new format, so let us know what you think of it, and we'll keep doing them every now and then. Until next time, my friends, stay strong, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Chasing Excellence. You can get every episode of Chasing Excellence wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. Until next time, thank you for listening.